This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings. I'm Gail King on this Monday.
I'm Tony DeCoppola.
And I'm Dana Jacobson.
We're going to begin this morning with that powerful storm that is slamming the Northeast. This is what it looks like in Pittsburgh as the system blew in. More than a foot of snow could fall there. And this is happening on a day that many people are just trying to get home from a three-day weekend. We are tracking the storm very closely. We'll have the forecast shortly from our friends at the Weather Channel. But first, Nikki Batiste is in Rochester, New York, where more than 16 inches of snow. Oh, boy, Nikki, is expected to land there before
wow,
it's all over.
Cold.
Boy, Nikki, I'm feeling for you. Hello.
Thanks, Gail. Hi, Gail. We're here in Rochester, right next to Lake Ontario. As you can see, it's a windy, snowy, cold mess. So far, we only have about 5 inches of snow, but we're looking at 1 to 2 feet of snow all across upstate New York. And some areas could see 2 to 3 inches falling every hour. The storm pounded I-90 in western Pennsylvania as its triple punch of heavy snow, whipping winds, and freezing rain from the south moved into the northeast. The city of Pittsburgh could get as much as a foot of snow. Parts of Pennsylvania are under a winter storm warning until noon. In New Jersey, a gale warning has been posted for the entire Jersey shoreline. The governor warns the wind could bring down power lines and plunge millions into darkness. But before arriving to this region, the storm created chaos for cars on North Carolina's highways. Freezing rain coated roads with ice. In Durham, crews worked late into the night removing this tractor trailer that flipped above an overpass. The driver was taken to the hospital. Meanwhile, in neighboring Virginia, the treacherous snow and ice wreaked havoc on truck drivers attempting to navigate the highways, forcing some to abandon their vehicles. Power outages added to the misery, with more than 100,000 customers left in the dark in North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, and Virginia. And in southwest Florida, no snow, but multiple tornadoes ripped through neighborhoods, leaving behind a trail of destruction, but no deaths.
I said to the devil when I looked up and saw this guy, I said, today ain't the day, you ain't gonna get me. And thank God that the fire department, the EMS, and the neighbors all made that come true.
As this storm moves through Vermont and up into Canada, officials are advising people stay home if you can. And as I stand out here, guys, I think that's a good idea. Dana?
Yeah, and Nikki, we're sorry you can't. You and the crew, go get out of the weather at least for a little while.
Get warm.
Yeah, get warm. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's not just snow, but as you saw, also wind and rain that are wreaking havoc. Meteorologist Chris Warren of the Weather Channel joins us from Boston. Chris, where does the storm go from here?
Dana, this storm is heading to the north. It's heading to Canada. But before it does, it is going to be a very wet and windy morning here in Boston. The winds are coming out of the east, so that is going to drive a lot of water onshore. Minor to moderate flooding is expected at the coast. Also, with the east winds, they're blowing over relatively warm waters. Now, 40 degrees doesn't sound real warm. You're not going to go swimming in it, but it is, in relationship to the snow level, well above the snow level. And it's that air that is blasting coastal New England and keeping it rain instead of snow. About 30 miles that way, this heavy rain is falling instead as snow. That's what you can expect throughout the day, Tony. A lot of heavy snow, travel delays both on the ground with winter travel, flight delays, and a lot of power outages.
All right, Chris, you too. Go get warm. Crew as well.
Moving on to that story out of Texas, police in the UK are saying they've arrested two teenagers in connection with the hostage situation at a Texas synagogue over the weekend. It is unclear if they're facing charges at the time. Officials say that 44-year-old Malik Faisal Akram, a British citizen, was responsible for the standoff, a standoff that President Joe Biden has called an act of terror. Omar Villafranca is following the investigation, and we find him in Colleyville, Texas, for us. Omar, good morning.
Good morning. We know the suspect came to the U.S. about 2 weeks ago through New York's JFK airport. What we don't know is how he got a gun once he got here. Sources are telling CBS News that Akram was able to get into the synagogue behind me by claiming he was homeless, and that's when he pulled a gun.
For nearly 11 hours on Saturday, law enforcement stood ready outside of Congregation Beth Israel. Inside, four hostages were held at gunpoint. Their Saturday services interrupted by Malik Faisal Akram, whose shouting could be heard on the service's live stream.
Because Americans don't give a about any American life unless you do.
Stacy Silverman is a member of the congregation. She says she watched the live stream until it was cut off.
We couldn't see him, only hear, because the camera was focused on one of the prayers. And since we couldn't see him, we thought, you know, we were terrified that he'd start shooting.
Officials say 44-year-old Akram asked negotiators for the release of Afia Siddiqui, who is currently in federal prison in Texas for the attempted murder of U.S. forces in Afghanistan. She's suspected of having ties to al-Qaeda and has even been called Lady al-Qaeda. In a statement, Siddiqui's legal counsel said, "We want the assailant to know that his actions are wicked and directly undermine those of us who are seeking justice for Dr. Afia." Shortly after 5 p.m., Akram released one of the hostages. After four more hours of negotiations, the FBI's elite hostage rescue team, flown in from their base in Quantico, Virginia, moved in. Video shot by ABC affiliate WFAA shows the remaining hostages escaping through an exit door. After a loud bang and the sound of gunshots, Akram was dead, and all four hostages were safe.
I'm also extremely proud of the team of negotiators, FBI agents, and local police officers who worked all day long. And it's very likely this situation would have ended very badly early on in the day had we not had professional, consistent negotiation with the subject.
The rabbi said in the last hour of the standoff that Akram was getting increasingly belligerent. And the rabbi said that he and the other hostages were able to escape due in part to the fact that they had been going through active shooter and security training over the last several years. And the numbers showed that that training is needed. 2020 had the third highest rate of anti-Semitic incidents since the ADL started recording them in 1979. Tony?
Just an amazing data point there, an amazing work by law enforcement. Omar, thank you very much. The congregation let the hostage taker in, offered him tea, and then things took a turn. We're going to talk about that ahead on CBS Mornings when we'll speak with Rabbi Charlie Citron Walker about surviving that standoff and how his congregation are coping this morning.
North Korea resumed a series of ballistic missile launches overnight, conducting its fourth test of the new year. South Korea's military says two missiles were fired from an airport in North Korea's capital. They flew toward Japan, then apparently landed in the ocean. Japan's government called the launch a threat to peace and security. Elizabeth Palmer is in Thailand monitoring North Korea's latest challenge to the U.S. Liz, good morning.
Good morning. Today's missile test is all part and parcel of North Korea's determination, openly stated, to develop better and more powerful missiles.
Already this month, watched by the leader Kim Jong-un, it claims to have tested two hypersonic models that can be maneuvered in the air. Also, a pair of shorter-range versions, including one designed to be fired from a train. That was likely retaliation for new sanctions imposed by the U.S. on five North Koreans involved in the missile program. State media released video on its YouTube channel with grandiose soundtrack of missiles moving on January 14th toward the launch site. This is, to some extent, spectacle. But the tests are also practical exercises for the North Korean military to fine-tune its growing arsenal.
And with no arms control negotiations with the U.S. on the horizon to move toward developing long-range missiles, and crucially, nuclear warheads. Gail?
All right, Elizabeth, thank you very much. We turn now to the coronavirus and a CBS News poll showing more frustration with President Biden's response. Only about half of Americans in our poll say that the president is doing a good job of handling this pandemic. That's down from just over two-thirds in March of last year. The president's chief of staff says we've made historic progress, but it is still a challenge. As Ed O'Keefe reports, the U.S. Surgeon General says, and no one wants to hear this part, that the newest COVID challenge will be with us for a while longer.
We shouldn't expect a national peak in the next coming days. Next few weeks will be tough.
Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy defending the Biden administration's response to the pandemic as the number of daily cases surged to nearly 800,000.
As the president said, we certainly have more we need to do on testing. And that's a message that's very clear from him to the public, to his team, that we need to pull every lever possible.
But a new CBS News poll finds a little more than a third of Americans think attempts to contain the virus are going well. And a growing number of people say information about the pandemic shared by officials is confusing.
Quite frankly, they're falling short in a couple of ways.
Maryland Republican Governor Larry Hogan says states need more help from the federal government.
The president announced nearly a month ago, before Christmas, that he was going to distribute these $500 million rapid tests out across the country, and so far we haven't seen any.
Another challenge for the president, most disapprove of how he's handling the economy and inflation.
The inflation issue is real. We've got to tackle it. Some of the inflation is related to the continuing pandemic.
So how could the president turn things around? Well, based on our poll, Americans say it's by focusing more on inflation and less on new legislation. Among those who disapprove of the president, more than 6 in 10 of them say opinions of him would improve if Mr. Biden is able to get inflation down. That's more than double the number who say they'd think better of him if the president's social spending plan is passed or if Democrats pass new voting rights bills. Democrats are going to try to do that later this week, but of course they're expected to face Republican opposition. Tony?
All right, Ed, thank you very much. Turning to pro football, the Rams and Cardinals will wrap up the NFL's wild card weekend tonight. But meanwhile, yesterday, our co-host Nate Burleson called a special slime-filled broadcast of the 49ers' win over the Cowboys on Nickelodeon. Alongside some friends from CBS Sports and Nick, Nate is now inside AT&T Stadium with highlights from the weekend. Nate, we've been wondering whether you, in fact, were slimed yourself. And if not, is that a matter of seniority or were you just too quick for them?
Well, I've already been slimed, so I didn't need to. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, Tony, you are right. Last night, this place was rocking. I'm telling you, the Cowboys and Cowboys fans, they showed up. But it was the 49ers who showed up and showed out. Now, they say everything's bigger in Texas, and you can tell by the place that Jerry Jones has built. So with Nickelodeon, we had to go bigger and slimier.
Look at the slime monster!
With Nickelodeon star Dylan Gilmer on the sidelines.
Let's go!
And myself, Gabrielle Nevaeh-Green, and CBS Sports' Noah Eagle in the booth. Nickelodeon's wild card broadcast was back.
Oh! Wow!
Wow. That's it.
The 49ers have won.
Wow.
They have come into Jerry's world, and they have delivered a brutal blow to the Dallas Cowboys.
Do you think you guys are going to the Super Bowl?
I think so.
As for the rest of the slimeless wild card weekend,
Evans is in for the touchdown.
The defending champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by Tom Brady, are one step closer to returning to the Super Bowl after coasting by the Philadelphia Eagles. But Brady's former team, the New England Patriots, on Saturday night, fell to a relentless Buffalo Bills offense led by quarterback Josh Allen. And in Cincinnati,
scrambles, throws it back in the end zone.
Sophomore quarterback Joe Burrow led the Bengals to their first playoff victory in more than three decades. While the Kansas City Chiefs and star quarterback Patrick Mahomes crushed the Steelers 42-21 and setting themselves up for a potential Super Bowl rematch with the Bucs.
When you've been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years and you walk off that field with a loss last year, you want to go back and get that revenge and get that win.
Now, here's the thing. I didn't get slimed, and I didn't want to be honest with you, but it is tradition that the winning team, either a coach or a player, gets slimed. So we did put somebody in the slime tank, and it was 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk, who was more willing and happy to get slimed. He told us before the game, and he enjoyed every single moment of it. And that is how we ended our Nickelodeon broadcast. Back to you guys in the studio.
Nate, I'm really actually kind of glad you didn't get slimed. That game yesterday, it went right down to the last minute. Could you please talk about what that was like to be in the stadium? Because I thought at the very last minute, Dallas maybe, just maybe, could have pulled it out. It was so fun to watch.
So Gail, I was sitting right up in the booth. It seemed like I was close to the field, and I have never had my heart racing so much during a game. In the final seconds, Dak Prescott takes off, he slides, and then the clock is just ticking away. He tries to get it, spike the ball down in order to stop the clock, but he runs into the ref. The ref stops, they look at each other, they huddle up, and then they look at the crowd and they say, game over, and then they run off the field. Fans started throwing beer cans and water bottles. It was a messy sight here.
I'm sure.
Yeah, they were mad.
They wanted to slime somebody after that.
Yeah, they sure did.
Understatement.
Thank you, Nate. You look good yesterday. You look good yesterday. Can't wait for you to come back home.
Thank you. I miss you guys.
Come tomorrow.
I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.